For us today, we're going to talk today at the Oasis. We're going to talk about the voice of God and hearing that voice, thinking about what God is speaking to you and how He goes about speaking it a little bit, and thinking about the way that God connects with us, the way that we can hear the voice of God and what He is saying. So let's get into this. Father, we praise You in Jesus' name. So grateful for the love that You have for us, Lord, and You express it to us in so many different ways. Whatever it is that speaks to us, You know exactly what that is, because You know us so well to bless us and to want to be a blessing to us, Lord. We praise You, thank You for that. Pray, open our ears, open our understanding, that we can hear what You're saying to us today, Lord, through Your word and through the things that You've asked me to share today, Lord. And I just pray that You speak deeply to us. Let us go out of here different than when we came in, Lord, that we have a greater understanding of You, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all Your power, Your glory, and all Your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me just ask you this. What does the voice of God sound like? Okay? What does it sound like? Not too many people. I know a few that have actually heard an audible from God. You know, God actually called their name and said something very clearly to them. We read examples in the, you know, a few times in the Bible when it happened, but most of the time, you know, even though we don't, excuse me, hear an audible necessarily from God, I have said, and I know a lot of other people have said countless times, that God spoke to me about this or that. Okay, God spoke to me about what message to prepare today. I can say that, and honestly, you know, God didn't speak some audible voice that, Gary, speak on my voice, you know. That would be cool, but it didn't happen that way. But God spoke in other ways to me about what to share today. So what does it sound like when God speaks to you? Okay, does God's voice bellow out of the heavens in this big resounding thunder and you know exactly what you're supposed to do? Or is it sometimes kind of that, you know, kind of a quiet tone, maybe a peace that comes over you that kind of shows you a direction to go? Or maybe it's something, I don't know, different folks have a different term for it, but kind of a something you feel in your chest, you know, like a burning kind of thing. It's like, I'm stepping into something I shouldn't be doing. And so you get that. It's kind of an anxiety thing, and you know that. Okay, God speaks to people through things like that. Some people, it's things in nature. You know, maybe you have a tree outside your kitchen window, and there's a bird's nest in it, and you get to kind of watch as the baby birds hatch, and you know, it speaks to you about how precious life is. Or you know, you see a, you know, a baby being born or a calf being born or whatever it is in your life, and that begins to speak to you about, you know, the preciousness of life. Some people have like a close call, you know, maybe a car accident kind of stuff. It's a really close call, man. The car right in front of you just got totaled, and you were right behind that, or whatever it is, and God speaks to you. Or like I shared the example of not getting stuck when everybody around me got stuck, and God seemed like He was speaking to me about, man, it's just because I love you that I did that, so You'd be there to help those other people. And so God speaks to people kind of in different ways, but wouldn't it be cool if God, like, was really clear about things and, like, you know, like, wrote it down for us and had like, his word for us that this is what I want you to do? That'd be great, wouldn't it? You have it in your hands, right? God did do that. He put it right in front of us. He gave us His word, right? We call this the word of God, okay? And we're going to go through it, and that's what He's wanting to do it. But what happens? Sometimes people think, well, yeah, but the word, okay, we're studying Philippians. That's Paul writing to the Philippians. It's not necessarily God speaking to me. Or, you know, Paul talks to Timothy, or, you know, it's his letter to Timothy, or his, you know, God speaking to Israel, or, you know, different things. And so it's not necessarily to me, but I'll tell you what happens. Here's the gist of everything today. God's word speaks to your spirit, which has been made perfect by God, to hear God, to understand, to know everything that God, because God, the things of God are spiritually discerned. So His word speaks to our spirit. So even if we're reading what Paul wrote to the Ephesians or Paul wrote to Timothy or whatever, it is speaking to our spirit. Then we may know the things that we need to do or not do in the future. Okay, so God is going to speak to you in your spirit. So, excuse me, what kinds of things does God talk to you about? Okay, man, I like affirmation. I don't know about you, but if God to say, you know, man, I appreciate you doing it that way, or, you know, you did the right thing, and you get a little affirmation out of it. You know, if you think about that, even Jesus was affirmed when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, right? Or the master and the servant, you know, the master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over little, thou wilt be given much, right? It's an affirmation. It's kind of like, oh, you know, it kind of makes you feel like you finally did it right. You got things going good. That's good news. That's good things to hear. And so sometimes God will speak in that way. But what about if you've made a mistake and you know that you made a mistake? Okay. What tone does God use with you then? What do you think God uses with you then? How does the voice of God sound to you at that point? Here's what a lot of people do. Okay, and there's reasons why we do this. It's been going on from the beginning of humans. Okay, here's what a lot of people do. It's just like Adam and Eve. The devil has actually made them well aware of their mistake, well aware of their sin. Okay, they missed the mark. That's what sin means, to miss the mark. So the devil makes them well aware of that. And now they're sure that the only thing that they're going to hear from God is going to be negative, it's going to be criticism, it's going to be, here's your punishment. Okay, so they don't really even want to hear from God anymore. Okay, God is, you know, this has been going on for centuries, thousands of years. People have been dealing with God this way, that if they make a mistake, now they don't want to hear from God. Now the devil, what he did, he made them aware of evil, right? They were living it up, man. They're in the Garden of Eden. This is good stuff, man. It couldn't get any better, right? They're living it up. And God has said, ah, there's that one tree, don't eat of that. And now comes along the devil and tells them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so then they could be more like God, right? Kind of tells them a lie. Okay, so the tree that they ate from opened their eyes to sin, just like it, to, you know, today people are still doing the same thing. That sin, then once your eyes are open to it, has such a strength. There's a spiritual attachment to sin, and it has such a strength that then it becomes all you can think about. All you can focus on then is that sin and how God is going to punish that sin. Okay, this is what the devil did with Adam and Eve. I want to read this to you in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Excuse me. So the serpent, the devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he says unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, for neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband that was with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord. Okay, we're talking about hearing the voice of God. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Okay, so how many are doing this today where they hear the voice of God? God is trying to speak to them, but they become afraid rather than knowing that God is there to help them. They think that God is against them. The devil made these guys pretty well aware of their sin. And they didn't even know they were naked, right? There was something that wasn't that big of a deal. That's why they, you know, people are not even in this room today. People didn't come to church today because they don't want to hear from God, because they think God's going to have something really negative to say to them. God's going to be hard on them. God's going to be punishing unto them. And so they've stayed away even today. The very first thing that the devil did to corrupt God's precious creation, God's mankind, was to open their eyes to see the evil. Okay, to see evil. Okay, imagine, now I've said before, if you really understand grace, you understand that there is no law That if we focus on trying not to break a law, then we end up breaking that law. But if there is no law, if there's no speed limit, and you go out and you drive down the interstate, there's no speed limit, you can drive whatever speed you want to and you're not breaking any law, right? But as soon as you set a law, you make that thing, then it becomes something that once you break it, then you're guilty. Okay, and that's what the devil has done here. What it meant, the things that God had meant for good, the things that God had made beautiful, the devil's plot was to turn it around, to make that ugly and sinful, to make it a bad thing. God created the human body, or the human, in his image, he said. It's a beautiful thing. But God, the devil has made that into something that, oh, now it becomes ugly, it becomes sinful. And once you see it as sinful, then you begin to feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you feel afraid of God. In other words, you could say that if you hear the voice of condemnation, if you start hearing that voice of you messed up, you're bad, you're hearing the condemnation, the guilt, you know that that is not God heaping that on you to try to change your behavior. God doesn't heap that on you to make you feel bad so you won't do it again. It's not God's style. That's the devil's. Okay, the devil will try to heap it on you because then you're focused on it. Then you're thinking about it. Then you can't think about anything else, about how bad I am because I did that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. No, that's bad. I don't want to do that. And all you can think about is what you don't want to do. Right? Paul talked about it. Romans 7. Okay, you're going to know the right things to do because as a believer, God has done what? He wrote his ways on the tables of our heart. He put himself on the inside so that we can know the right things to do. Okay, so that you know what to do and what not to do because he is living inside of you, guiding you and showing you and leading you. And I'm going to talk, we use that word leading a lot today. You're going to see why in just a minute. Let's look at Romans 8:11, in case you forgot this. I use this scripture a lot. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body, your physical bodies, by his spirit that dwells in you. In other words, he is going to make you alive to do the right thing because he's on the inside. His spirit is in you to do that with you. The spirit of in you is what I said in the beginning that connects perfectly with the word of God. Your spirit within you, his spirit within you, understands God. It knows when God has given an expression that he wants you to do or not do. Your spirit that connects with God and the spirit of Christ is in you. He hears that and he knows exactly what to do. Okay, so that's where that is. When you say something then, or you do something, you engage in something that is not God's way, and you have the Spirit of God in you, that's where that little cringe comes from. Some people call it conviction. Okay, that's where that little bit of conviction comes from that, I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. That's the Holy Spirit in you, that you just engage in something unholy, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't like that. Okay? We have a couple of kids, and our youngest one, I use him as an example a lot. He'll love this when he gets older and listens to these. But he's very sensitive still to harsh things like a gunfight in one of the Westerns we watch or something. It makes him cringe. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit in him, I'll bet, that is saying, I don't like that. Okay, or, you get around somebody around people that cuss a lot and that stuff, for me, I get around that, it makes me cringe a little bit, okay? It's the Holy Spirit in me that doesn't really like that profanity. Namely, using the Lord's name in vain, that one's like, ugh. You just feel that, it's like this thing that happens. Okay, well, you've got the Holy Spirit in you that is adjusting that. It is making it like, I don't like that anymore. Maybe something came out of your mouth. Maybe you did something. And now you're thinking, I don't like that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to engage in that anymore. Okay, what's happening? It's called repentance. Okay? Repentance, the definition of it, is to adjust your course. Adjust your aim. Okay, what is the definition of sin is to miss the mark. So if I'm shooting an arrow and I keep missing the mark, I'm going off to the right a little bit, I'm going to adjust my course, adjust my aim a little bit to hit the target. That's repentance. That means when the Holy Spirit says, I don't like that anymore, and you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. You just adjusted your course a little bit to get back on track so that you can fulfill the thing that God has got for you. That's adjusting your course. It's the essence of the word repentance. You continually do that throughout your life as a believer. You're continually adjusting as the Holy Spirit steers you back into the plain path, the right path that God had for you. And so when you begin to step out of that, like I said, some people get that burning in the chest. I know I'm doing something that I shouldn't do. I know I'm about to do something I shouldn't do. And so the Holy Spirit is right there trying to guide you back to take that step in the right direction. And once you do that, peace will return again. Okay. Let's look at some scriptures. Many familiar scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you have this one memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. Okay, now I like the way that the Amplified version says this, so I put that in there next. The Amplified says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or your own understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, key word, recognize and acknowledge him, recognize him. Do you recognize him? Do you recognize when something is God or not of God? In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. In other words, he will make that adjustment because in all of our ways, we're recognizing him. Whether it's him or not him, all you recognize him, it adjusts your course, makes you walk down, he directs it and makes straight and plain the path that you're supposed to go on, okay? He is the spirit inside of you that is, knows and acknowledges God. Do you think the spirit knows God? Spirit knows God perfectly, and the spirit is in me. So when something is of God, the spirit in me knows God. Go this way, brother. He's telling you that, okay? And when it's not of God, the spirit in you is saying, I don't like that, okay? God made it easy enough. Okay, the ways of God and those things, the Holy Spirit is acknowledging that and he's making the path plain to you. He's making it, no, this is the way. The Holy Spirit is in you to do that. Okay, now if the Holy Spirit is guiding us and the Holy Spirit is with us, he's in us, he's showing us, why then do we still sometimes not go down the straight and narrow path? Why then do we sometimes go in a different direction? Well, we're listening to the wrong voice. Okay? The Spirit connects perfectly and hears the voice of God. So if I'm doing something that is not of God and I'm okay with it, it's because I'm hearing and listening a different voice and I'm going a different direction. Okay? Now you're going to see where this goes. It's because we're listening and following after the wrong voice. Okay? We're listening to it and following after that voice that is listening to us. Go this way. It'll be okay. It's not that bad. You know, go this way. We're listening to that. The world has a voice. The devil, yourself, other people. All these voices are coming at you from different direction. And we end up being in a process of learning to differentiate between the voices. Okay, how do we get to know a voice? How do we understand when something is of God or not? We differentiate between the different voices and we adhere. What we want to do is adhere to the voice of our true master so that we begin to hear what he is saying, and that's that direction that we're coming from. You know, I'll give you an example, but when I pull into my driveway, let's say our dog is in the house and I pull into our driveway, my dog does not jump up and bark and get all ugly because she knows my car's the sound of my car, right? Gary's a little cool. She might come to greet me, but she's not going to bark. But if somebody else drives in a big loud whatever, man, her hair stands up, she gets uptight, and she's going to go bark. She's going to protect the house because she doesn't know that sound, right? Same with people. You know, we live in a rural community. Maybe they do this here. But as people come to the door, sometimes it's our neighbor or whatever. They just knock, knock, and they open the door. Is anybody home? And they step right into the door. It's just kind of common. Now, if we know that voice, if we recognize that voice, oh, Kathy, our neighbor's here, we get up to go greet her. If it's some voice we don't recognize, you know, the hair on the dog stands up and, you know, I'm jumping up and, you know, I'm going to go greet this guy in a different way. But if we don't recognize the voice, then that creates a fear inside. It stirs something up that, man, I don't understand. Who is this? And we don't listen to it. We won't We'll acknowledge it in a different way. So if that voice is unfamiliar, then we're going to react in a different way. Jesus, though, as our good shepherd, has gathered together his flock unto himself, and now he is leading, he is guiding and protecting us as a shepherd does his sheep, right? He said that we will know his voice and that we will learn to follow it, follow after him as he leads us with his voice into greener pastures, into the refreshing water, into safety. The big storm's coming. He's going to get us out from under the one tree in the prairie kind of thing. Okay, he's going to lead us to safety when we listen and hear his voice. I want to show you some things on his voice in John chapter 10. The first five verses says this. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold," I'll explain this, "but he climbs up some other way, that is the same as a thief and a robber." That man is a thief and a robber. "But he that entereth in by the door," through the door, "is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter," I'll explain that, "opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep," or gets them out, "then he goes before them, and he leads them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Okay, now as we get into this, Jesus says that that one that doesn't enter through the door is a thief and a robber. A few verses later after this, he says plainly, "I am the door." Okay? So in other words, Jesus is the door that we enter through. Okay? You could say it like anything that doesn't go through the Jesus door, anything that doesn't go through the Jesus filter, think of a screen door, it doesn't let the bugs in, right? Just the air. Anything that doesn't go through the Jesus filter is going to rob you of what God wanted to give you. Okay? It's a thief and a robber. It's going to lead you astray, take you down the wrong path. Anything that won't go through Jesus will lead you astray. When the porter, okay, it said in the porter, when the porter opens the door, the porter would be like the Holy Spirit. Okay? When the porter or the gatekeeper, I'll explain this more, when they open the door, then the shepherd comes in through that door and he speaks. You hear his voice and you follow after that. Now, the parable here makes more sense when you understand some of those positions. What is a porter? What is the shepherd, the porter, and the sheep? What are they doing? What is this place that it talks about? Okay, well, at night, they would, if they're going to the marketplace, sometimes they would get to one place and they would get to this big barn. And they would, the sheepfold kind of thing, and they would take the sheep, and the different shepherds would actually put their sheep all into one pen in the barn, in the big barn, right? And then the next morning, they would come to get their sheep to take them to the market or take them on further down the road, whatever the case was, and they would come in there, and the porter was the gatekeeper. He's the one who was not a really prestigious job because he sat there all day and night, and all he had to do was say, "You have sheep here?" "Yep, I'm a shepherd." And the guy would say, "Okay, come on in and get your sheep." The shepherd would come in, stand by the door, call his sheep by name. Okay, they didn't have 1,000 flocks necessarily, but he would call them by name and, you know, "Annie and Betsy and Susan and come on, come on." And he'd start calling their name, and pretty soon they start filtering towards the front. Okay, the other sheep that were in there were hearing the voice of a stranger. So what were they doing? They were backing off. And so it just naturally separated. They would go in and start calling out, and his sheep would start filtering their way to the front. Now, shepherds in these days, they did not push their sheep. They didn't go out with their dog and their horse or their four-wheeler or whatever and round up the sheep and push them and herd them. They always led the sheep. Okay, so he would lead them, and as soon as they started coming to the door, he would literally step out of the door and back out of the door and turn and keep calling their names as he's walking, and his sheep just followed him out that door. Okay, so the porter was like the gatekeeper. He was the one that let the shepherd in and let the sheep back out. Okay, Holy Spirit, is that he's going to help guide us and filter and make sure that that's happening the way that it's supposed to. Okay, the shepherds, like I said, they didn't push. They were the ones that would lead. If a stranger came in and called out, the sheep are going to run away and scatter. They would not follow. The only way that someone could steal somebody's sheep, the porter knew, because they would have to push the sheep out. Okay, they would have to try to go get around them and push their herd out. And the porter would be like, I don't think those are your sheep. You know, you're not taking that bunch, because they were pushing them. Think of that. The shepherd leads, but the thief pushes. Okay? The shepherd leads his sheep, but the thief pushes. If you feel like you're being pushed into something, you feel like it's, you know, I don't really want to, and you're getting pushed into it, it's probably not God. It's not your shepherd leading you. You know the voice of your shepherd, and he's leading you this direction, and this guy's pushing you, trying to get you out the door. It doesn't always feel that great when that pushing's happening on. The devil's voice should have become strange to you as a believer. Okay, the devil's voice is going to get so that it's kind of that, it's that foulness. It's that thing, I don't really care for that. That's the devil's voice. If it isn't, and you still listen to the voice of the enemy, the stranger, and it's still something that you easily follow after, you probably have not fully identified yourself with your new master. Okay, now imagine this. Sheep were bought and sold, right? Annie no longer has Joseph as her shepherd. So now she's in a different flock. She has to learn to hear the new voice. You as a believer, when you gave your life to Christ, were listening to one master. You just got purchased by the blood of Christ. Now you're under a different master. You need to learn to listen to the new master's voice. The old devil, the old master still calls your name. But the new one is calling your name too, and I need to learn to go after this one. So I'm going to become, how do you do that? You become familiar with your new master. You become familiar and comfortable with Jesus. Okay? When you identify yourself as a Christian, when you identify yourself as a believer, and this is my master over here, you begin to want to go the voice to that voice instead of this one over here that's barking at you, come on, let's go down to the bar, let's go do this, let's tie one on, let's, you know, sleep around, all that stuff. And you got this voice. Pretty soon that becomes the stranger, and I hear the voice of my Savior. I hear the voice of my shepherd over here calling me in a different direction. And so that's what was happening with these guys. The sheep, when they were sold into a different group, the shepherd, the new shepherd, would actually gather them together and put them in with some sheep that already knew his voice. So that when he called, come on, Annie, come on, Betsy, come on, new sheep, you know, whatever your name is, he'd name it. Okay, and so as he'd call them, the sheep would all start to go. Well, what does that other one do? They start going with the crowd now because their new master is, you know, everybody else is part of this flock and they're all going this direction. Now think about your Christian walk. God today is still gathering the flock of God together. It's happening right here on Sunday morning. Gathering the flock of God together, there's some sheep that really have been walking with God a long time. You've been hearing the voice of God. You're kind of walking in that direction. When God says, go this way, we go. And then there's newer ones that have been added to the flock. Maybe you're in a different place in your walk with God, but God has put you in the middle of a flock that as we go with God and we follow God's grace and understanding his love for us, we're learning that, you can follow along with the crowd until you begin to be familiar with your master's voice. That's what God does with the new believer. He puts them in a body so that they can kind of go along. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what their new master's voice sounds like yet. But as he calls out to them, they start to go along with that crowd until they get to hearing and used to that voice. And now they're out spending time with the other members of their flock, and they're spending that time. And God begins to show them that this is what my new master's voice sounds like, and they can go off in that direction. Okay, the stranger's voice continues to call out to you. Okay, the stranger's voice, he doesn't go away. The devil likes to draw people away, right? Lead my sheep astray. So the stranger's voice, the devil continues to call out to you all the time. He's the one that's planting those thoughts in your mind that you know are not from God. So when you have, you know, that lustful thought, you know, you think about somebody and that's not God. Or you have that thought about, you know, getting in a fight with somebody or, you know, saying vulgar things. And you think to yourself, man, that's just not going to happen because that's not who I am anymore. That's not the voice I'm listening to anymore. Okay? So that you probably know what I'm talking about. The devil does. Sometimes during your day, you'll be thinking something, and it's not a healthy thought, right? Okay, that's the devil still speaking to you. That's the voice of a stranger. Hopefully, it has become a stranger's voice. then it's like, that's not who I am anymore. Okay, that's not part of my life anymore. You know what I'm talking about. They're the things that kind of make you shake your head and say, that's just not me. That's not who I am. That's what should be happening. That has become a stranger's voice. You have to be careful not to follow the ways of the world. Okay, the voice of that stranger. Many of your friends, your family, your coworkers, and other people are listening to the voice of a different master. They're listening to a different shepherd. Their shepherd's leading them astray further and further away as much as he possibly can. And if you're running with that crowd, and guess what? Everybody else is kind of going that way, then pretty soon we're part of that, and we begin to follow after a voice of a stranger, and it becomes more natural and normal to us. So I'm saying, guard yourself. Know the voice that you're listening to. Is it quickened? Is it connecting with the Spirit of God within you? And if you're thinking, I don't really know if I should be going this direction, then you probably shouldn't. Okay, because the Spirit of God will lead you with some peace. You're going to be comfortable with God's voice. You're going to be comfortable with Him calling you, and you're following after the voice of your master instead of the voice of a stranger. The master that calls their name, they follow after it. And so you have to be careful about that. When the unbelievers were questioning Jesus about who He was, this is what He said, John chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me, but you believe not, because you are not of My sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they know Me, and they follow My voice. Okay, so the world, the lost people, the people, a lot of people we spend time with, if they're not following after the voice of Jesus, they're following after the voice of a different master. And we've got to be careful about that. Those who are not of Jesus will not follow Jesus. And the world around you, then, you should know, does not follow Jesus. We don't always want to go the way of the world. Okay? We know Jesus. We know His voice because He has given us His Word. The Word of God is Jesus made flesh, right? The Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Rita, as we close this out today, I want to end with Psalms 119, verses 101 to 105. He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way so that I might keep Thy Word. Okay, the Word of God, this is how we hear the voice of God. Verse 102 says, I have not departed from Thy judgments, for Thou hast taught me. How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The Word, Thy Word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, Thy Word is that light unto my feet. Thy Word is God in you. The Word of God is in you, and that Word of God becomes a filter then for the things that you're going through. So as you want to hear the voice of God, you want to hear, what does God want me to do? Begin to stay in the Word of God. Begin to get that into you. The more that you've got in there, the more that Jesus filter stuff has to go through, because if it doesn't line up with what the Spirit knows is true and perfect, then the Spirit of God in you is going to say, uh-uh, let's not go that direction, right? The Word of God becomes your filter. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the Bible says. The Word of God is what is made alive in your heart and causes you to hate evil. It says, therefore, I hate every false way. The Word of God is what shows you that it's what's quickened inside of you. Now I have the Word of God in me that shows me right from wrong, and it begins to be quickened that says, I don't like that evil. I don't like that falseness. I don't like the lies the world is telling anymore. And it begins to be quickened in that way. So as you go through this week, pray, God, show me Your voice. Speak clearly to me. God knows what you go through. He knows exactly how to speak to you in a way that you can hear and understand. But you're going to have to maybe tune out some of the static, you know, by staying in the Word, getting that Word of God in you. That's where the voice of God is at. How does God speak to me about what to preach? How does God speak to me about what to do in a situation? It's in the Word. I'm going to be reading it. Things are going to be quickened. It's going to be made alive, and it's going to begin to connect with the Spirit of God in me. The truth connects with the truth of God in me, in the Spirit of God, and it begins to show me that this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to deal with this situation or to go forward. So you could have any situation that comes up in life. If it's your relationships, or if it's your job, you got things going on, it's that coworker, it's your finances, whatever it is, the Word of God has a solution and an answer that God can quicken. He'll make it alive to speak to you that, whoa, that's what I should do. That's how I should deal with that situation. It's going to come from the Word of God. Pay attention to what is being said to you from God, from the Word, taking it from, this is God's Word speaking to the Spirit of God in me. I may not exactly understand it with my mind, but the Spirit of God in me understands it perfectly. So just by reading it, memorizing, studying it, getting it in me, now the Spirit of God has that to work with. You know, the Spirit is something is quickened with Him. He knows exactly how to speak to you in that way. Run things through that come into your life through the discernment of Jesus. Run it through your Jesus filter. Let that Word of God be what determines what is of God and what is not. You know, God has a good and awesome plan for your life. God has things that He is calling and leading you to fulfill. He has a green pasture for you. He has the river of water for you. But we don't want to be following the voice of a stranger instead. We want to learn what our Master's voice sounds like. That comes through His Word and reading it, hearing it. So we want to be going in that direction and listening to the Master's voice, our Master's voice, instead of the voice of that stranger. We don't want to let that in there anymore. The stranger is going to cause you to wander around in the wilderness and instead of staying on that path of life. Okay, the true path. The Word is a light unto my path. Okay. God has given you everything you need inside with His Holy Spirit to listen to adhere, to recognize what is of God. It's in you. You have that as the Holy Spirit, as Jesus came into your heart. You receive what you need to be able to hear the voice of God. Okay, let's go forth. Father, we praise You in Jesus' name this morning. We're grateful that You have done just that, Lord, that You've given us what we need to be able to hear Your voice. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Savior, that, Father, that this week we will hear Your voice clearer than we ever have. That we'll hear it clearer than we did yesterday. We will hear it clearer than we did 10 years ago. That, Father, as we go forth this week, we will begin to see and acknowledge and hear the voice of You speaking into our life about things in our life, people in our life, places we do, places we go, things we do, that You will speak to us clearly about that. Quicken it, make it alive inside, make something connect with us, and show us that path, Lord, to light it up. That we may know through the filter of You and Your Word that we know the right things to do, that we know the right places to go, we know the people to associate with, we know what to say in a circumstance or situation. Lord, that You're leading and guiding us as the shepherd leading His sheep, that we can trust You, we know Your voice, we know it's good, we know You'll lead us to good things, and Father, we choose to follow after You. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God has got a good plan. Just got to listen to Him. He's speaking. He's speaking every day and all day long. He's speaking to you about things you're going through, things you're dealing with. Everything that comes up, God continues to speak about it. And a lot is going to come right through His Word. Once you continue to get it in you, then sometimes you'll be someplace, you're driving down the road. You can't look at your phone. You can't open your Bible. But God can still speak to you because you've got the Word in you, which is connected with the Holy Spirit. So continue to get that Word in you. Use it as a tool that it is. God has given it as His Word. And Jesus being the Word made flesh.